Good morning. Today we're going to continue our series, which we started at the beginning of 2018, on God's care. And this time, we're going to get to something we probably should have done the first time, about how God cares for us. God cares for us so we don't have to have any anxiety about anything. I talked to somebody this week who said there was a lot of anxiety about some future travel and future plans, and it occurred to me that lots of people have anxiety, but God has a solution to that. So we'll read about it. Matthew 13. Oh, Teresa came in. Now instead of having one nice dog, we have a second one. Matthew 13. We're going to talk about God's care for us so we don't have to have any anxiety. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Such a big crowd, he couldn't find any place to greet them all, so he got a little bit offshore in a ship. That was his little stage. It was the boat. And he spake many things unto them, verse 3, in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 34-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the people are thinking, that's sort of obvious, you know. It'd be like I said, if you want to buy some frozen peas, go into the grocery store, find the freezer section, and take some out. Go pay for them. You'd go, yeah, okay. I sort of know that already. What's the point? Well, he does explain it later on. Go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by is offended. He just gets scared off. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. And this word is a word that we'll see many times. It's a Greek word that means anxiety or worry, or sometimes translated mental distraction. You know when you're trying to do something and you're just all worried about something else and you just can't focus? That's what this word here is. So let's see. We're in Matthew 13, verse... Yeah. What verse are we in? There, verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, the anxiety of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See, there's nothing wrong with riches, but they can get very deceitful if you think they're going to do everything for you. They can't. They are a means of exchange that has its use in our lives. But as we know, the people that put all their emphasis on riches just sort of miss the point that that's something that God provides. And it's good to have, but God's the source, and that's what we should focus on. So the care of this world can choke out the word, and you become unfruitful. Can't let the anxiety of this world, there's plenty of anxiety in the world, but you just cannot allow it to choke the word out of your life. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 25. Another very popular verse here. Matthew 6, verse 25, very well known. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now, this is that same Greek word we had before for anxiety, just the verb form. It means don't be anxious, don't be apprehensive, don't be unduly concerned. So it doesn't say, because the way it reads here in the King James, to take no thought for your life doesn't matter. I know people that like that. They just walk out the door without thinking of a darn thing. You know, they get halfway out the door, wait, no keys. Or they get in the car and drive away, wait, no wallet. Or something like that. Or I'm going to go to the store. Oh, it's closed now. So you have to do a little thinking about your life. But this is not take no thought. It's don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be freaked out. To use our modern vernacular, don't be stressed out. Don't be stressed out for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, by getting all worried and anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought? Why do you get anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I don't know if you've ever been out in a field where there's just a bunch of wildflowers. I remember being on top of a mountain in Colorado once. It was just vivid. The colors were so great. I mean, obviously you can grow flowers and that's nice, but these were all wild. I've never seen such vivid colors in my life, which is why I think of that field when I read this. Mm-hmm. Plenty of places with good flowers, but the point is they're just unbelievably amazing. Yet they don't worry. I never talked to a worried petunia in my life. They just look nice. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you, ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed out, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, planning out your wardrobe or planning out your lunch. Or, you know, deciding to get your roof fixed so you don't, you know, doesn't rain in your kitchen. There's nothing wrong with those things. But it's when you're all freaked out about it and that's the only thing you do in life is spend all your time being anxious and worried about them. I think that's what it says. For after these things the Gentiles seek, those who don't worship the true God. They often don't have anything else to do but sit around and be worried about that stuff, I guess. That's what it seems to be talking about here. And we want to do more than that. What we want to do is take care of all that stuff and then focus on just trusting God and enjoying the things he gives us. So verse 31 again. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But instead, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We just look to God and trust him, and those things just sort of work out. Oh, sure, you got to do some work, and you got to take care of your money, and you got to take care of your stuff, but you don't have to worry about it, because all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be stressed out for the morrow. For the morrow shall be anxious for the things of itself. Not tomorrow. Worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I think that's great. You got enough stuff to deal with today. Just deal with that. And it's, again, it's okay to plan for tomorrow. It's okay to have a calendar. It's okay to have an agenda. But don't be stressed out about tomorrow. You know, perhaps you have a lot going on this week and deadlines and challenges and people you don't want to talk to. That happens to a lot of us a lot of the time. But don't be worried about it. Just pray. And then deal with it when it comes up. And God will be there to help. If you can do some planning, great. But no reason to be stressed about it. Let's read about Martha. Good old Martha. Martha, Martha. Luke chapter 10. Martha was having a tough day. She was trying, but she just got a little overwhelmed. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This is a big deal. Jesus Christ is walking through town, and Martha says, come on into my house. So he goes in there. And Mary, her sister, just sits down right in front of Jesus Christ and is listening to what he has to say. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered. She was sort of burdened about much serving. She was so excited to have Jesus Christ there. Perhaps she was serving food and drink and just being a wonderful hostess. And it's great to be a wonderful hostess, but she was sort of letting it get to her. And she had Jesus Christ in her house. How often does that happen? And, you know, and she was worried about making sure the egg rolls were fresh and the chips and dip weren't running out and everybody had a full glass of lemonade and she was stressing about it. Well, you can serve chips and dip and lemonade anytime. How often do you have Jesus Christ in your house? But she was stressed about it. So Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. This isn't fair. You're here and we want to put on a good party and a good show and all these people are here and I got to serve the chips and dip all by myself. Maybe if I did the chips, she could do the dip. I mean, come on, let's spread the work out a little bit. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, that same Greek word, worried, anxious, stressed out, about, and thou art careful and troubled about many things. You got all these things you're worried about. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, the good part was the word of the Lord. Mary chose to sit and hear the word of the Lord. Martha wanted to be the perfect hostess. And it's great to be a good hostess. I'm highly in favor of that. But not if you get so stressed out about it that you miss having the word of the Lord in your life, which Martha did. You know, she could have listened to Jesus Christ and, you know, served the cookies and tea later. It's all kinds of things she could have done. But Jesus Christ made it very clear. Let's read again, verse 41. Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, the word of the Lord, which shall not be taken away from her. Isn't that something? Now here's a very popular section in Philippians that we read from time to time. It's such a big deal. Even when I was in fellowship in high school, my friends used to say, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. And I've never forgotten that. And I, on days when I remember it, I'm like anybody. I get days where I get a little stressed out about this and that. And then on days when I remember this verse, I go, oh yeah, that's all I have to do. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4, we'll start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what? Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation, just don't let little things stress you out. Why should you? The Lord's here. Be careful, same Greek word, anxious, worried, stressed out. For what? Nothing. And that's important right there. There is no thing in your life that is such a big deal you should get stressed out about. Am I saying there's nothing important in your life? No. We all have important things. We all have concerns. They're all important. But there's no reason to get stressed out about them. It doesn't help. It doesn't add anything. Some people feel if there's a problem, they don't get stressed out. They're ignoring it. And they're, you know, just being unrealistically optimistic. It's not good. Of course, I am always accused of being too optimistic. And it's usually true. But not always, but most of the time. Everybody else wants to worry about something, and I just won't. I'm just not going to get worried about it. If there's something I got to deal with, I'll try to deal with it. If I can avoid it and put it off for a while, I'll probably do that instead. But get worried about it? No. I actually read a study recently. I heard a study on the radio that they say procrastinators are actually very efficient. because they wait so long that when they finally get to it, they do it really well and really fast. I thought, that's me! Oh, you too.
I wait till the last minute to clean things.
Right. Well, you have all that focus, you know. Like, I almost never work on my teachings for fellowship till I get up Sunday morning. Because that's when I'm focused on it, you know. And I get up early enough. It's not a problem. You know, it's just that earlier in the week, I'm, you know, focused on other projects. And yet when I get up Sunday morning, I have one thing to do. Get my teaching ready and hit fellowship. So that's easy. So I'm not sure if it's procrastination or wise time management. But whatever it is, it works. But what we don't want to do is be worried about anything. Again, verse 6, be careful, anxious, stressed out, mentally distracted, worried for how much? Nothing. What am I going to do instead? I know people who spend so much time just telling war stories and, for lack of a better word, whining about everything, that if you took that away, what would they do all day? Well, it tells you what to do with all that time and energy. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. How many things? Everything. By prayer and supplication, which is just a specific type of prayer instead of general prayer. So by prayers and specific prayers, with thanksgiving, very important, let your requests be made known unto your neighbor, your best friend, the poor lady at the post office who has too much else to think about. No, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. He's the one that can do something about it. I mean, you can talk to me about it and I'll listen, but ultimately the one that can fix things is God. So you let your requests be made known unto God. And what's going to happen, verse 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So don't ask me to explain it, because it passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? The peace of God will just guard your hearts. And that's the way to peace. And we have other teachings where we look through many more sections of Scripture about peace. But most of them focus on this thing. You look to God, and then you have peace. Because if you look at the problem, the more you think about it, it gets more impossible, more difficult, and you get more panicked. But if you look to God and turn it over to Him, then you'll have peace in your life. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So it's okay to focus on the good and positive things. Again, some people think, if you don't focus on all the problems in the world, you're just ignoring them. Well, there's all kinds of things I have no control over. You know, talking about the other day, I was talking to somebody about something on the news. Some people were having all these problems and they were fighting it out in court, and what was the right solution? I just thought, I don't know. I'll pray for them, but I don't know all the details in this and what's the best answer for these people with this lawsuit having these problems. I don't know. But I don't have to. It's not my responsibility. I'm going to do what it says here. Think about things that are lovely, honest, virtue, those kind of things. Now, I got a couple other translations of those verses 6 and 7 that are pretty cool. The J.B. Phillips translation says, don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. I'll read that again from J.B. Phillips. Don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. And the New Living Translation of these two verses says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So,
the care of this world, the anxiety of this world, the answer is just turn everything over to God and don't fret about it. Now, here's a really cool verse in 1 Peter, a couple verses there, where we see a different Greek word translated care. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. First Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that first word, care, is that same Greek word for anxiety or mental distraction. So you cast all your anxiety on him. But then the second one, it wouldn't make sense because God has anxiety too. It's a different Greek word for care. The second one just means to be aware of what you need. We cast our anxiety or mental distraction on God because he's aware of what you need. And that's all God has to do to care for you. He has to know what you need, and then he has the resources and the wisdom and the desire to help you. Think of something, if you go into a restaurant and you make the waiter aware of what you need. I would like more ketchup. Well, I found most places waiters know how to get ketchup. Some restaurants are different than others, but getting ketchup is fairly universal, at least in this country. I've been in places in other parts of the world where they don't know what it is. But here, it's very common. So, God, once he's aware of what you need, which he is, he can take care of you. So let's read that verse again, verse 6, or verse 7. Casting all your care, your anxiety, your mental distraction, your stress upon him, for he is aware of what you need. He cares for you. But that's all he needs to do is be aware of what you need, and then he'll provide. Reminds me of that Hebrew phrase, Jehovah Jireh, which can be translated, God will see and provide. It's one of God's names. He has a bunch of cool names. Maybe we'll go over those sometimes. A bunch of Hebrew names for God showing some of his qualities. People do that sometimes. Somebody's the king of rock and roll or the sultan of soul or the people have all these terms they use on for people. Well, God has his own names, but they're just a lot better. So the Lord will see and provide. Because once the Lord sees what you need, he can provide. So that's why, as it says here again in verse 7, you cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our care is anxiety. His care is being aware of what we need and then providing. So that's why we don't have to worry about stuff. We can cast it on God, and then he knows what we need, and he'll provide. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the lion, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, a couple other related sections that don't have the word care in them, but they are on the same general theme. Let's go to Psalm 1. Very wonderful psalm. And again, this psalm wouldn't make any sense around here where we have so much water, but think of some dry place out west where you can go along forever and there's nothing but a little scrubland or sometimes just dirt and sand, and all of a sudden you see this strip of trees and there's a river between it. And because there's a river, there's trees and bushes. There's water. It was in that kind of climate that this was written. So, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So instead of being stressed out and thinking about whatever he's worried or anxious about, he's thinking about God's word.
Again, he may have stuff to plan and think and probably has work to do. But instead of fixating on that problem and getting all anxious, he's fixating on God's word and God's deliverance. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we meditate on God's word instead of fixating on the problems, and we prosper. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, another very familiar verse here. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's one of the things that often causes people to get anxious, is they just can't understand stuff. They can't figure it out. There's a lot of stuff in life nobody can figure out. In spite of all our studies and professionals and research, some things people understand, some things we have no idea. Well, we don't have to, because we can trust in the Lord, and we don't have to lean to our own understanding. Now, again, this doesn't mean you shouldn't do a little study and a little work and try to learn stuff. But you can do all the study and all the work and talk to all the professionals in any part of life you want, and you'll just get to the place where they don't know. Anybody that's honest will tell you that. You reach a certain point, and then beyond that, nobody knows. Well, rather than panic or get worried about stuff or get anxious, you just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So you can just trust that God will show you where to go and what to do and how to do stuff. He's very good like that. That's why it's great we're born again and have the Spirit of God. Now I want to close here in Philippians 3. This is perhaps, well, these verses are all significant, but I guess if I had to pick one today to focus on the significance for the weeks ahead, I would look at this in Philippians 3. In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't think I figured everything out. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Because you know what you can do about the past? Nothing. What did he say? Zip, nothing, nada. Just not a thing. Can't do anything about the past. But boy, can we move ahead with God's word. And because I mean, if you think of good things in your past, that's nice. But if you focus on them too much, you spend all your time wondering how come it's not so good now. Or you can think about bad things in the past. I should have done this better. People shouldn't have done that to me. Something, well, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is move ahead with the things of God today. So forgetting those things which, where was I? Philippians 3:13. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong verse. Let's go back verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Moving forward, I press toward the prize, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So moving ahead with the things of God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, and spiritually we're perfect, in our walks we're people, we don't do everything right. Let us, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So basically, you just have to move ahead with the things of God as you understand them. Because some people get what I call perfection paralysis. They just, you know, until they get as spiritual as Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul, they don't want to do anything. And we may not get that far. So rather than be worried about that, let's just move ahead with what we do know. And if we're goofed up, God will show us. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Then look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. Now, stick with what we know. I know people that will have one verse they don't understand, or something bad happens to a friend of theirs, or somebody does something stupid, and they just want to throw out the baby with the bathwater and forget about God's word. And that, to me, is just silly. Whereto we've already attained. I mean, we don't understand all the word of God. We don't, you know, I don't usually walk on water at my house. I get in my canoe. You know, I'm just, I just haven't gotten to that place. You know, I guess if God told me to walk on water, I would do it. But you sort of need revelation for that kind of thing. But the canoe works fine. And there are plenty of things in God's word I'm very comfortable with, I'm very confident in, and I use them in my life every day. Other things I just haven't figured out yet. So I'm going to stick with the stuff that I've learned and that works. And it's just such a great section there. Just to forget those things which are behind, reach forth unto those which are before, stick with what we know, and continue to grow with that. And if you're going the wrong way, God will show you. And it's just that simple. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful, delightful care for us. We thank you that because you do see and provide, because you are aware of our needs and take care of us, there's no reason for us to be anxious. You direct our paths. We can meditate on your word. We can forget about the past and reach forth unto those things which are before. We don't have to let the care of this world choke God's word out of our minds. We don't have to be anxious for the morrow. We don't have to be worried about little details in our lives like poor Martha was. We can focus on the word of God. And whatever things might cause us to be anxious, we can decide to not be anxious for them and instead turn them over to you in prayer with thanksgiving. It's a great thing that we can cast our anxieties on you because you are so aware of our needs. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for a great couple of weeks ahead. I'm glad we can pray for one another. I'm glad we can focus on your love for us. We can leave the past behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. And whether the days ahead are just the perfect days we love or days full of challenges and some difficulties, either way, we're going to trust you to help us, and ultimately we know your Son is coming back. And our mortal bodies will become immortal, and our corruptible bodies will become incorruptible. What a great day that will be. So I thank you for this, for your wonderful love and your wonderful kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, Peter, love you, brother. Give our love to Dee Dee, and we'll all keep praying for each other.
Thank you, Bruce. Love you guys, too.
Okay, bless you. Bye-bye.